Well, it's great to see everyone here. I'm the MC for today's, or for this TAP meeting. I'm Nathan. And I'm going to introduce Sean for his talk tonight, In You, Me, In Me, You, A Short Journey Down the Long Road of Self. So I wanted to give you guys a little bit of a picture of Sean and his journey. But first I wanted to say, some of us have had the great privilege of being at an intensive retreat before this with several teachers. And I think it's really interesting to see how each teacher has a different perspective that in some ways complements, in some ways contradicts each other teacher's perspective. And I think that's extremely valuable. And so Sean, I want to introduce Sean and his perspective. In 1991, he was, in his words, suffering from heartbreak and life sucked. He saw a poster for one of Rose's talks that said, "What is enlightenment?" And because Sean was suffering so much, he said, "Hey, what is this about? Maybe there's something here." And he got a chance to meet Rose, and what Rose said resonated with him. At one point, Rose told Sean that his heart was locked in a box. And so Sean went on a bit of a mission to try and free his heart. And in that process, he did crazy things like hugging trees and staring baby goats in their eyes and cuddling them. And apparently baby goats, when you cuddle them, kind of go stiff. It's their instinct. Apparently it stops them from getting eaten. Sean said the baby goats actually taught him lessons about death too, because normally goats have, they're born, they get pregnant so that they can have their baby goats in the summer, but these idiotic goats at the Rose Farm apparently didn't do that.
That was the Billy Goat's fault.
Yeah.
He was crazy.
So, lots of lessons about death as well there. But anyways, fast forward a couple of years, and Sean had a final breakthrough in 99, which ended his search. And he has a website called spiritualteachers.org, which is actually how I found Tad. And he also creates spiritual documentaries and tries to communicate what he's found through poetry as well. And that's it. It's my pleasure to introduce Sean Nevins.
Well, first off, I had in my memory that I was doing an icebreaker session this evening, and I think maybe Eric asked me to do that. And then I looked at the schedule at some point, and I thought, it looks like I'm doing a talk this evening. So I got a little confused about what exactly I was supposed to be doing, and I kind of mashed the two together, I think. So I'll speak for a few moments, and then we'll actually get up and maybe do a couple activities and have a little enjoyment as well. Because I think one of the core things, and I don't know if this is part of what I'm supposed to do or not, but just talk a tiny little bit about TAT and what TAT is about and what I see as the core of TAT. And I think one of the fundamental things is honesty and finding a group of people that you can be honest with, because it's so tough to have a truthful conversation in the world, in our normal relationships. And I feel like there's a huge opportunity in this group to be able to do that sort of thing, to ask people tough questions, to get thoughtful answers to tough questions, just to have that space where you can speak freely. And I really hope that this evening we can begin to set that tone of like, this is an opportunity this weekend. This weekend is not about you all sitting there and listening, but it's about participating, and it's about getting what you want out of the weekend, about asking the questions that you have, and not just taking notes and in the interior secret back part of your mind analyzing what's been said and coming to decisions about what's been said and then just leaving. But have some real interaction with someone, and use this space, this opportunity, this time to get some value in the connections, in the relationships. I think that's huge. I mean, that's TAT, right? TAT is an organization. It's a living thing that people put energy into. And that living thing has provided a crucible within which people have learned and become something more than they were when they showed up. So that opportunity is there. So I wanted to say that. Three things that I thought of that TAT gave to me, and that is a taste of something other than myself. The other thing is a direction in which to look, in which to search. And the third thing would be methods, techniques to actually search. So those are three prominent things that stand in my mind at this moment. Ask me later tomorrow and you might get three different things, but that's what I got right now. So the taste, as some of you know, I have one way that I really like to try to give that taste, right? And it's like my one shot. Here's the taste. Here's my purest attempt to open up the way that I see the world and that I live in the world, and that space that we all cover over, if you will, with thought. That coming into being that is all around us all the time. We were talking at the retreat about that sense that we see ourself, right? We see our thought. If we observe, if we meditate, we see our thoughts. We see ourself as creator. I create meaning. I create relationship. I physically create things. The energy flows out from me. And we can see that, and we can observe it and see it as a thing apart from ourselves. And that is a meditation of it in and of itself. But at the same time, we also have a sense of ourself, our deepest, innermost feeling of ourself being created and coming into being. And that is, Rose would talk about the Janus deity, the two-faced deity. And he would talk about our being as looking at the world and yet at the same time looking back up the ray of creation, he called it. And a part of us looks back up through that ray. And that, that magic, that coming into being is what I try to point to, of looking in both directions. And who are we? Who are we really? This transient thing that rests between this and that. And we can feel that. in our life if we pause. There are pauses in life. That's a huge thing with me, is that there are pauses. There are these moments that are just filled with that energy, that sense, that vibration, if you will. So this is just there's a little poem about this time of year. I thought it was odd that I turned to this because it's November, right? And this is called, it begins, "It's November, and the whole sordid, gorgeous, convoluted, and crazed mess of a year comes dribbling out of the trees piece by piece, till there's nothing left but bare existence. The skeletal sense of being clings to branches and roots of hope tied to this earth. I am is a lone tree on a winter hill, and as well a forest overflowing a valley. Rot and cambium, the ant's long path and short life, stomata, stem, and spring, rising, falling, loving, leaving. For you, so used to finding satisfaction in temporary answers, here, today, I leave you with none." And these spaces are not a space to sit in, right? It's a space in which to be honest. Who am I in this place, in this moment? Who am I really? So the direction, right? The direction is not books and lectures and that sort of thing. All that those things do is provide the moments when something real happens. A paragraph in a book pauses the mind, stops the mind for a moment, and something new comes in. Or someone says one sentence, and that sentence catches your ear, and you can't let it go. And you stop, and you have some perspective that is new, some glimpse that's different. That all that stuff that we do is all about turning the ear, if you will, and Bob Ferguson says it perfectly, that listening attention. Well, he's just like a dog, right? Cocking its head, hearing something, except that we're cocking an inner head, Richard Rose talks about in meditation, getting that sense of an inner head turning away from thought. And when you're doing meditation, all that noise is just that, is noise hiding from what you're really looking for. And you can learn to turn your head, and you almost feel a mental motion as you turn from thought. Chatter about work going on, I turn my head from that. Well, there's also an inner listening of that same feel of inside, something's coming forth out of me. I feel that ray in me, a taste of it, and I am yearning towards it, leaning towards it, but in an interior direction. My lean is inward or backward. And those are, I use phrases like that because that's physically what it feels like for me. And it may physically feel different for you. And you have to find what that feeling is. You have to find, Rose would say, going within, employ whatever means necessary. And that's it. That was the extent of the instruction. So you got to find what for you is that leaning, that listening. But that's the direction. The method that I feel like I learned from Rose, from Tat, is a method of living a life, right? Living a life that my energy, as much as possible, goes towards my yearning, my deepest desire. How are we successful in anything? We turn our attention towards it. We work. And I don't think that this is not any different, right? It's a method of, as Rose would say, it's a method of becoming. The things that I do, where my energy goes, is who I become. And I become a truthful person, and I become an observant person. Person who listens as opposed to talks, right? Talking is creating. So he gave a lot of advice to people in terms of ways to conserve energy, and then would just speak about doing things, right? Going on retreats, spending time alone, meditation, working with other people, all of these things to build a life that revolves around, as Gurdjieff might say, or Uspensky might say, a center, right? A center of gravity around which my life revolves. And that is there's a million details in that of how that's going to play out in your life, and that's for you to figure out. And that's why it's so great that you got 6 or 7 or how many other people, and you got 20 or 30 other people to share ideas with about the specific methods that people are using, specific types of meditation, whatever, or books that they're reading, that kind of stuff. All the details, you got a world of details that you can dig up. But it all goes back to where your energy's going. I'll leave it at that. That's like the 5-minute version of what I got to say. So, I think that's enough. So, to begin the weekend, one of my favorite things is seeing people make connections at these TAP meetings. Not make connections with me, but make connections with each other. Because those are the friendships that really carry you through this work. When I think back about my path, yes, Richard Rose gave me a taste of something and gave me a hunger for something. But the people who day in and day out I interacted with, my fellow seekers, were people like Eric Clark, and people like Art Tickner, and people like Phil, all these people who to this day are friends. Some 20-something years after we started, Eric and I started doing this stuff in the group down in Raleigh, North Carolina. And those are the people who carry you, I think. Really, when you're down, you look for a conversation with a friend. And that keeps you going until you're up. And then hopefully when they're down, they can come to you and talk to you as well. So that's the, you know, that's the group work that Rose talked about. Finding your fellow seekers. Finding the people that you can work with, not just listen to or read about, but actually work with and exchange notes with and have honest conversations with and that kind of stuff. So maybe you will meet somebody this weekend that you didn't know or you didn't know well, and that will spark a friendship that will last years and that will prove far more valuable than something that I said. And that would be gold for something like that to happen.